Okay, so last week, in honor of Yom HaTzmut, as we all recall, we spoke about duchening in Israel. Specifically, we were looking at the difference different minhagim between certain areas in northern Israel, specifically focusing on Haifa versus the rest of Eretz Yisrael, where everyone seems to be duchening, and in Haifa, for some reason, they seem to be doing things a little bit differently. And we had that conversation. But that really we should potentially have started with this, and that is we need to take a step back and actually have a conversation about duchening in general. Why in Chutz La'aretz do we not duchen? Where do we get this idea from? And how do we sort of justify it? So just as a fair warning in advance of this year, we're not really going to justify it. We'll try our best, but it's going to be pretty pathetic attempts, but there's going to be at least some interesting Ma'ar Mikamos throughout, and at least one interesting Ma'ar Malkum that I plan on concluding with. So the conclusion will hopefully be good. But up until then, I'm not making any promises. So let's start with the Chinuch, right? The Chinuch tells me, he describes the mitzvah of Birkat Kohanim, Sheinstivu HaKohanim Sheivachu Yisrael B'chol Yom, Sheneimar, Ko Tivachu B'nei Yisrael Lemor Lehem, right? So there's a pasuk that says you're supposed to duchen. And Mishalshei HaMitzvah, Shechafetz Hashem B'tovo HaGadol, Levarech Amo HaYedei HaMishartim HaKohanim Tamid B'Beit Hashem. The Kohanim were the ones that were hanging out in the Beis HaMikdash, so he wanted to somehow, I don't know how brachas work, but somehow a bracha goes through them. Right, their whole being, their whole thought process is always about working, serving God. Right, they're constantly in this awe of God's presence. Right, because the schus of the Kohanim, somehow bracha works, and so he wanted them specifically chose them. To give this bracha, and he says, and I'm just skipping over to this other paragraph over here. V'nohegat mitzvah zu b'chol makom v'chol zman. This mitzvah is applies all the time. B'chol zman b'kohanim, it's a mitzvah on the kohanim. K'alehem mitzvah zu levarchet Yisrael. And this mitzvah we do on shachrit u'musaf u'beniila chayvin levarch. Right, there are three davenings you have to do. But mincha shekol yom en sham nisiat kapayim. There's no duchening by mincha. We'll talk a little bit more about that shortly, discussing specifically how by a fast. That might be a little bit different and what the differences are. But that's not really that important for this year, but it's just coming up to the Chagav.
I mean, it is interesting that when you look at the Sharshan of the Chinuch, it does seem to imply that you shouldn't be duchening out if the that the only people who should be duchening are the Kohanim who are on Shmirah.
It's a good point, and we will talk about it soon. It is going to be one of our attempts at justifying this not duchening thing. But one of them is going to be that it seems like from the mitzvah, this is you bring the karbanos, and then there's duchening. That's the order, which is also how we do it, right? Modim, we finish off modim, which is, you know, like a sort of like a karban hodah or something like that, right? And only then do we actually duchen. That's the structure of the tefillah, and that was how the psukim highlighted. So you're right. When you're just reading the chinuch, reading the shalshei mitzvah, it does sound like this is a Beis HaMikdash thing, not something that applies outside of it, but he does emphasize at the end, "V'noeget mitzvazu v'chol makom v'chol zman." Don't think this is just a Beis HaMikdash thing. This applies everywhere. I think actually my video is off. I could turn that on for people who are watching want to see something. I think whatever.
Some of me.
Yeah, it's annoying. I'm turning off.
The mic is off.
Oh, my mic is off.
That's a problem.
Mic is off.
There we go. Now you can hear me. Okay. Fine. So this is the Chinuch. The Chinuch, even though we don't really know who the Chinuch is, that's why we call him the Chinuch, as opposed to everybody else, we just call by their sefer because we're too lazy to say their name. But the Chinuch, Paskins in general, like the Rambam, and so he's consistent. This is the Rambam, B'shachrit, B'musaf, V'ni'ila, three davenings, HaKohanim Nosim Et Kapehen. Kohanim Dochen, Aval, B'mecha, Nesil Kapayim, as we said. Okay, fine. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later, or maybe we'll save that for a different, when we actually have practical halacha of duchening. Now, really, the Gemara emphasizes the importance of this and the severity of not doing it. I'm going to be sure of in Levi. Minayin shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitaveh leBirkat Kohanim, right? He longs for the Birkas Kohanim, sheneimar, v'samu et shmi b'nei Yisrael v'ani avarchem, right? The Kohanim are somehow going to put my name on the Jewish people, and then I'll bless them. I'm going to be sure of in Levi. He adds another comment, Kol Kohen Shemavarech Mitbarech. All right, any Kohen, when he gives a bracha, he himself becomes blessed. V'she'enu Mavarech, enu Mitbarech. Shneimar V'avarecha Mivarecheka. V'am Rabbi Shobe Levi, a third comment of his, Kol Kohen She'eno Ole L'Duchan, any Kohen that does not go up to Duchan, Over B'shlosha Asay. There are three Asay that you're being over, Kotevachu, Emolahem, V'samu Etshmi. All right, so three different psukim that tell Kohanim, you have to duchen. There's a mitzvah to duchen. So if you don't go up to duchen, you're being over on three asay. What?
Very mouthy label.
Very.
quick question. Yeah. The source, proof text was from Abraham, the Barakah from the Barakah.
Yeah, Baruchem is that's an Avram quote. Just a general rule by if you give someone a bracha, you will also get blessed. So he uses that also for Kohanim. It's interesting. Yeah.
So
Kol Kol Shino Ola Duchan Ola B'Shosha Asay Kol Tevachu. Right, which is this upcoming week's parasha. Oh, you see, right? Yeah. The Be'ol Aron Ve'Banav Le'mor Kol Tevachu B'nei Yisrael Emor Lahem. Right? No, that's in Bamidbar.
It's way later.
Yeah, it's not this week's parasha. And then V'Samu Etshmi V'Yisaron. Yeah. Okay, so those are the three. Actually, not sure what that third pasuk is from. Okay. So then, we have, obviously, this all leads us up to our basic question, what we're trying to analyze in this whole sugya here, and that is, like, you know, great, there's a three mitzvahs that say to duchen, you're supposed to do it everywhere, what in the world's going on over here that we are not duchening every single day? And so, we have a Beis Yosef, we'll start with him, because as we all know, Sfaradim duchen every day. So, Kasav Ego, Shenisha Marim Olin, Lama En Kohanim Nosim Kapehem B'chol Yom, why aren't Kohanim duchening? It's a mitzvah saseh. It's apparently three mitzvahs saseh. V'heshiv, what's the reason? Mipnei sheminhag ha-kohanim litvol kodem k'mo shekatuv b'hagos maimonis. Apparently, the Hagos Maimonis has this thing that kohanim are supposed to go to the mikvah before they duchen. V'chol yom kasha lehem litvol b'chorif. And every day, it's very hard in the winter. They live in Europe. It's cold. And so, they don't want to go to the mikvah every day. So, because they can't go to the mikvah, they do not duchen. V'lechein ala minhag dafka b'yantiv. Only on yantiv. Because, I don't know, on yantiv maybe it wasn't as cold. I guess it's extreme. It's more seasonal. In the winter. Yeah, there are a few Amitav in the winter. Sure. Maybe they anyway went to the mikvah on yantiv. Whatever reason it was.
More of a draw to go to the mikvah before yantiv, I guess.
Yeah. So apparently before yantiv they go to the mikvah. So great. Yeah. And he says, also, the Chagav, he just happens to throw in another line there while I'm at it, just in case I'm wrong with my first reason, let me give you another reason. There's also a bitul melacha issue. Apparently, people are rushing to work or something like that. And so, during the week, they don't have time, but on Yantiv, they're not going anywhere, so they could potentially then go to Duchen. And the Beis Yosef says, Dachach atzma dekai minhag mikomo. He says he's responding to his environment. He sees that nobody's duchening. So he says he's dachak atzmo. He forces himself into the position to offer some sort of justification. But like between you and me, this doesn't make any sense. Ve'eno maspik yimashagatav neshe noagim litpor kodem hay chomra de'aseh de'kulahi. He says this whole thing that you're assuming, you have this assumption that you have to now go to the mikvah before you duchen, it's a chomra that ends up in a kula. In other words, you came up with this idea that you have to duchen before, you have to go to the mikvah before you duchen. It doesn't say that anywhere. I think actually, yeah, Sharei Tvila, Lenesiat Kapayim, Lo Huskara B'Talmud. Nowhere does it say in any Gemara that you have to go to the mikvah before you duchen. So the fact that you came up with this chumrah, that you have to go to the mikvah first, you ended up in a situation where you are now being mevatel the three essays. How did you end up in a situation where your chumrah brought you to a kula? It's a terrible chumrah to have. An iPhone entered. Always scared of iPhones. So the problem with that argument is, again, as we saw from the
Chinuch. No, you could derive it from that. You know,
but there is no Gemara that says it. It could be that, I'm sure that's where people came up with this idea from, right? But it doesn't actually say it anywhere that you have to do it. And so, like, it's a nice idea that you come up with, but if it's going to be the reason why you are not duchening, then if that's the reason why you're not duchening, that's not a very good chumra to have.
It's the source.
Right?
It's the source, not the...
Okay. Right, and he points out, right, that the only time that you actually have this mitzvah saseh is when someone tells you to go up to Duchen. When somebody announces, we'll figure out who that is soon. When somebody announces Kohanim, right? So then everybody has to go up. That's the only time where there is this, where you're being over and asay. Otherwise, you're not being over and asay. But still, why are you putting yourself in a situation where you're being over and asay? It's like, if I don't come to Shacharis, I don't have to Duchen. So maybe you should go to Shacharis, so you should Duchen. Right? It's potentially a good reason to go.
What's the like halachic like source for saying people have to go to work, so you don't do it?
There isn't one. That's the problem.
That doesn't come from like...
No, the Ramah's about to say it. You mean who says it?
No, like what's it based on? Like, Tiachet Tzibura, Hefzim Mamon, like...
But it's these are justifications after the fact.
Okay.
I think you people have a fancy term for it. But
like,
this
why, is... If it's not based in halacha, why is it a justification?
What? Sorry?
If it's not based in halacha, why is it a valid justification?
Here's the problem. We know that B'nai Luis Dochni. We don't know why.
Okay.
Now we're attempting and giving answers.
But isn't the point of the justification to validate our reasoning we're doing it?
As best as we can, but we're not always successful. That's why I said at the beginning of this year that this is going to be very unsatisfactory this year.
Okay.
The primary point of this year is going to be highlight we're missing something,
okay.
Right? And it's not great, but we're trying. Okay. So, you see this is through the entire, you know, halachic process. Everyone's struggling with this, right? So our first reason was this mikvah thing. But again, as Bais Yosef points out, like, where did that come from? All right, Dalki Moshe points out, the Ramah, sorry.
What's the last line? V'yishar kocham shel b'nei Yisrael v'chol malchut Mitzrayim?
Yeah, so v'yashar kocham, right? So yashar koch to all b'nei Eretz Yisrael. Apparently where Rabbi Yosef Karo was living, everybody was duchening. Maybe in Tzfat, I guess they were duchening. I'm confused now. But okay, we'll leave that aside for a different conversation. V'chol malchut Mitzrayim, apparently Egyptian Sfaradim at least. Duchen every day. So at least that's what he's quoting.
Maybe they did.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think in general,
that's what
he said.
Do.
Yeah. He was there. He probably knows. if you look at the Daki Moshe, the Ramah, Vani Omer Kiatan, Shechashvuhem Letafel Huaikil, Kimachmas Bitu Melacha La'am, this is your Bitu Melacha thing, Shebeelo Atzot Shakonim Va'am, Trudin Bemechiatan Begalutan, right? These people are living in this country where they're stuck in Galus, Ve'enem Neponnes Benemitam, they have absolutely no money, Kim Alechem Ashekdu Yerketu Bezeatapam, right? The only way they can survive is with working really hard. They're very busy trying to make money. And here he adds in this other point, they're not very happy. They can't duchen. It's, you're causing bitul melacha. And even on Shabbos, v'af b'Shabbos eino nosim kapehem, mipnei, maybe they're not actively working, but tuldim b'machshavatam v'yorohem al maaseh yadehem shavar v'shatidim liyot v'yanuach gufam k'tzat me'alamam v'ein ashrayim kol kach b'simcha k'mon b'yantav. So he keeps going back and forth between these two different reasons. They seem to be an extension of each other, I guess. One is they're very busy with working, or they're thinking about working, and they can't just focus on what they would need to be focused on in order to be able to duchen. And I don't know if this is the same point or a slightly different point. And somehow that has something to do with the fact that they're not happy, and so they cannot duchen. So again, Ramah is, I don't know if he's necessarily thinks his reasons are really good, but he's, again, trying his best to justify this minhag.
But his reason also has the advantage of figuring out the distinction between Eretz Yisrael and everybody else.
Yeah, Rabbi Yosef Karo didn't even bother.
Right.
Correct.
How so?
Because is it part of the reason why this is so bad is we're in Galus. So
no, but it's not Galus, it's Galus, and as a result of Galus, we're poor as heck.
Right.
We're always worried about work.
So he's making some assumption that the Jews...
He's making assumption that the Jews in Israel are all wealthy and not worried about making money.
Or they're happy because they're in Israel, even though they're poor, not in Israel.
Right.
We don't even have that. Like, we don't even have...
Right.
Is being happy like a contraindication to
deafening? We'll see.
Okay.
But the Ramah clearly thinks so. You'll see more sources that talk about it more. But the Ramah does think so. I love how you use contraindication in that sentence. I loved it, yeah. This is why we're recruiting residents to come move here. So that was the Ramah and the Mechaber in the tour. It translates over to Shulchan Aruch as well. Kohen afa bishu panui noset kapav. notice this halacha, it's relevant to what you just said. A Kohen who is single and is not married is also allowed to dochen. This is what the Mechabel says. The Ramah says, V'yesh omrim, de'inon osek apav, someone who is single can't dochen. Why? De'ashua belo isha, ashua belo simcha. Someone who doesn't have a wife is clearly not happy, and the only person that can dochen is someone who's happy. V'amavarech, yesh lo yot besimcha, someone who is blessing people should always be happy. He's like, actually, you know what? Minhag is, even if you're not married, we'll still let you dochen. I don't know. Do you know any happy person that's not married? The Ramah clearly doesn't say that. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. It doesn't make any sense.
He's not saying that all married men are happy.
He's saying all single people aren't. We can both discuss the psychological implications of this later. Someone who doesn't want to doch him, we don't force him. This I thought was interesting. You shouldn't be in shul when the chazan says kohanim, or omrim em nitoria dehem. Not every shul does this. We usually do this where somebody announces, everybody go and wash your hands. So he says, even by that point, if you're not planning on duchening, you shouldn't be inside. Because obviously, yeah, that's the beginning of the process. Okay. So, and you only go up on Yantav, Mishum, Sha'az Shroyim B'Simchat Yantav, because then they have Simchas Chag, V'Tov Lev, and they're happy. So, V'Tov, sorry, he's quoting, V'Tov Lev Hu Yivarech, we know that only someone who is in a good mood can give brachas, Mashayinkin, Mishal Yamim. Afilu B'Shabbatot Hashanah, even other Shabbos is during the year. V'Afilu B'Yantav, Enosim Kapem, Ela B'Tfilat Musaf. Why? Neil says for you. We're in Galus, we're so deprived and so unhappy that the only time we can really even come close to some sort of happiness is when we're towards the end of davening right before the meal. So at that point, we'll be able to handle being able to duchen. But otherwise, we can't do it. Right. So there's two ways of reading that. There's two different ways of reading it. I decided specifically to not read it that way. But if you want to read it that way, yeah, that's what he's saying. So that's why you only duchen by musaf, because now you're about to start your meal. Now again, the solution would be to duchen after the meal, but at that point we're worried you're drunk, so you can't, right? So you'd have to do it before. Oh, don't even get me started on Simchas Torah. Yes, exactly.
Says, yeah, that
the Kohen Kohanim. Yeah. Okay.
Until you appeared on the
scene,
we didn't do that. Because we didn't have Kohanim.
Oh,
it was
just you.
According to Rabbi Berger, you don't say Kohanim.
Yeah, that's true. One. Correct. For one, it wouldn't be. You'd have to have more than one.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay,
was it? Kiddush Club would ruin Duchadig, yeah.
Well, if you didn't have the alcohol, but
as soon as people start eating, we assume, that's why by Simchas Torah, a lot of shuls will duchen b'shai shachris. That's a different conversation that we can have before Simchas Torah. All right, so Nataz here points out, v'rabim me'akonim p'rushim neshateim be'yontov. Now, he says, remember that we had this issue before. Why don't we duchen during the rest of the week? Because you can't go to the mikvah. So what do all these Kohanim do? They separate from their wives. Bishvil aduchan, for duchening, v'shibushu, right? Because they're afraid that if they sleep with their wife, then they'll be motzi zera, right? And then you're going to be tamei, and you don't want to go to the mikvah, so you won't be able to duchen. And he says, v'shibushu beinai, the whole thing is completely ridiculous. He says, if that's really what your big deal is, so just go to the mikvah, like, what are you, leave me alone. That just like you do, and okay, fine. He's quoting, obviously, I don't think the Taz really knew what he did in Eretz Yisrael, but he's quoting Rabbi Yosef Karo's Lashon, Eretz Yisrael v'chol malchut Mitzrayim, Nosim Kapem Kol Yimot Hashana. They manage to do it every day, and apparently they also have kids, even though they're duchening every single day, so apparently, they're probably not separating from their wives for every single day of the year. Although to your point, maybe those people are happier or not happier, depending on how married they are, but okay. But that's a different, again, different point. And
Poland.
Isn't he? Yeah.
Poland.
Lahem, yeah.
So you would know about that. You don't go
in this dam the tefillah mitzvah, right? So if they have the opportunity to do some sort of tefillah mitzvah, she'en levatel mitzvah b'shvil zeh she'en lo yisod ve'ikar. Same thing as Rabbi Yosef Karo, it says like we made up a new halacha here.
So this, but he didn't go ahead and say everybody should start doing.
Correct. It's interesting. Yes, he didn't go that far.
Right.
So he clearly has another reason. Maybe he'll use the Ramaz reason, right? That you're not happy. It has nothing to do with mikvah, but you're not happy. But apparently, since whoever was around him wasn't going duchening on, was separating from their wives on Chag, and like this is not appropriate. And the so Magen Avraham says Ela b'yantov umitzas asay. This is a misquoted Magen Avraham.
People quote Magen Avraham as saying that you don't duchen on Shabbos. How he says.
Oh, yes. So let's talk about this. Right? So the whole duchening on Shabbos thing. Mitzvah sasei kasev, the minogorohu. Mitzvah sasei. Elabiyante mitzvah sasei kasev. It's not mitzvah. Mitzvah sasei? I don't know. Mitzvah sasei. So it's elabiyante mitzvah sasei kasev, the minogorohu. It's not mitzvah sasei. It stands for somebody.
No, it's
whatever.
No. Yeah, it's
got to be. I don't know who it stands for. Miel Sinaim? I don't know. When Shabbos falls out on Yantiv, she'ein nosin kapeim. He says, Magen Avraham says, oh, this, they just quote the first? I didn't know this. They just quote the first
people
part?
People quote the Magen Avraham as being the one who tells
people
them.
Quote the Magen Avraham says, you're allowed to tattoo the Satwi also, though. So. But okay, fine.
Tattoo yourself?
Tattoo the Satwi.
Oh, tattoo
the when Shabbos falls out on Yantiv, ein nosin kapeim. They don't duchen. Again, same argument. V'lo yadati tam nedava. I don't know why. V'efsha. So again, so one second. Let's stop there. The potential reason why people apparently weren't duchening when Shabbos and Yantov fell in the same time, following the Taz's argument, is apparently they didn't want to have to go to the mikvah on Shabbos. They would go during Chag, but they wouldn't go on Shabbos. And so, because they had this halacha that they made up that you have to go to the mikvah before duchening. So they wouldn't duchen if it was Shabbos, if Yantav fell out on Shabbos, right? He says, however, maybe the reason is, and we solve this problem, right? We have the things that I think other shuls say, but I don't know if anyone in our shul actually says this, but if you're aware, there are all these things that people are saying between the, you know, when they're doing a hefsek bracha in the middle of something.
The last and the second to last word of, while the Kohanim are singing, there's like a little
it's in the
center,
whether anybody says it or not, I have no idea.
It's
some very, it's very weird.
It's in some
It's the dream thing. It's the halamas thing.
I will point out that the new RCA sitter takes that out of the main sitter of Kohanim and puts it all the way in the back for those people who say it. They don't. They no longer try to cram it down.
So why do they still have people singing, though?
They don't tell you what to do about singing.
Oh, okay.
There are no little notes notated.
Right, in America, for some in El Tisla, nobody does this, right? Nobody sings during Duffening. But in America, at least not in an initial that I've seen. But at least in America, it's a thing that they sing, you sing in the, between the last bracha, because you're saying all these tefillahs against dreams, right? So the problem is, you're asking bakasha on Shabbos, you're not allowed to have tchina on Shabbos, so it would be usher. So he says maybe that's why they don't duchen. There's obviously a simple solution to that problem, which is
in shul. Saying is that they don't sing on Shabbos.
Right. That's how we say. Yeah, because of this, because you're avoiding this tchina thing.
Yeah, you're not supposed to say that tefillah
on Shabbos. You're not supposed to say that tefillah.
Also in general.
I didn't say that. There is a problem in general, which is not what this year is about. There's a problem in general with doing a hefsek bracha and saying just weird things in general. It's a different conversation, but not one for this year. That's Rob's argument in this conversation. Mashenkim, you have to look. This is recorded, right?
you can decide if you're going to load it.
Right, yeah, it is recorded. Okay, fine. So that's the, again, a little bit more, a couple more pieces to this puzzle.
So he's just saying that there is a custom in some places where that they don't build on their Shabbos.
And he doesn't understand why.
Right, but he disagrees with them.
Joshua's point of people quote that first part and they don't follow with the second with, and I don't understand why that's the minhag. Or there's no sense to it. Whatever the exact words are.
We do have a problem, though.
The minhag, according to Joe Hall, was we don't build on Shabbos.
Oh, so that's where it came from.
Everybody followed us.
Okay. So apparently Magen Avraham would be happy that we've changed this. Mm-hmm. Just wait till I change the Duchening every day. That's a different conversation.
Rabbi Steinmetz came in. He said, what do you mean you don't Duchen on Shabbos? Of course you do.
So you're saying the rabbis that come into the shul have the power to change what we do in the shul?
Yeah. I guess Jake just went along with Joe also. Look, whatever you want to do.
All right.
I can't force you.
So
I have no idea.
But sure, you couldn't force him to do it. We know that he couldn't
really
force him.
Anyway, the Mishnah Berurah points out a very obvious point, and that is, if you tell me that the whole idea is Simchat Chag, Hak Midochen during Yom Noraim, that's not really Simchat Chag, or at least Yom Kippur, maybe it is or it isn't Simchat Chag. So the Mishnah Berurah says, Shuim Simchat Yom Tov, why? B'Yom Kippurim, Gam Kenosim Kapayim, why? Sheyesh Bo Simchat Mechila B'Slicha. On Yom Kippur, we have Simcha of Mechilo Slicha. We're getting forgiven. We have a Chazan whose voice we like, and who reads words. So we are happy with it, and we're able then to Dochen. The Shaul Tzion has some interesting points, and he says, Veda. It's also the Neraisa. Right, that was the Gemara that we saw. Apparently, there was one Rishon that said, to your point. The Chinuch's thing, right, all the way back in the beginning, where we said that the order of the Kohanim was after the Karbanos, they would Duchen. So that's the Mitzvah Deoraisa. Anything other than that, which means not just Chutz La'aretz, but also Eretz Yisrael outside of the Avodah, which means anything nowadays, that would all be Derabanan. It's not a Mitzvah Deoraisa anymore.
That's the Chinuch's language. Language is Bechol Makom.
The Chinuch says the reason that this Mitzvah works, that it seems to imply that it's connected to the Avodah. You're right, the Chinuch doesn't say. The Chinuch does say all the right. So, but you could definitely read the logic of the Chinuch and think it's weird the Chinuch doesn't say. Right. And that's all I pointed out.
You can force imply it.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the idea there. He then says also over here, this is the next halacha, Enesiyat Kapayim, this is based on that Rambam that we saw, right? Enesiyat Kapayim, Ela B'Shachit U'Musaf B'Ni'ila, that's the only time you only duchem B'Yom Sheyesh Bo Ni'ila, Kmo B'Yom HaKippurim, Avelo B'Mincha, Mishom D'Shlicha Shichos B'Otasha. The problem, the reason why we don't duchem by Mincha, is because the same reason why we don't duchem after we eat. We're afraid someone got drunk. Maybe they came to one of our shirim. And he says, Shema Yeh HaKon Shekho, V'Gazu B'Mincha.
You would have had wine with lunch.
It wasn't an outrageous thought.
Water wasn't safe to drink.
I said, because
you would have had wine or beer with lunch.
Right? So they're doing Atu Mincha of Tanis for Mincha of Shalimim. Abba, B'Tanis She'en Bo Ni'ila. Yes, if Mincha's early. Mincha by Shkia they won't, but Mincha earlier they would. Before, I think.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I was always assuming they did, the same way we said Barakonium on fast. They do it by early.
If you dive it early Mincha, they would do it. And by fast, I was once early Mincha.
I was in Israel for fast days, but the Kohen didn't show up.
Whenever I went to the minyan, the Kohen always showed up. So he says, the Kimach Asal, he says, so why can we duchen by Musaf? So because obviously, Kimach Asal, he said, so that Kavua Kodem Musaf, Kim Timim Ba'alma. The only thing you're allowed to do, you're only allowed to taste a little bit before Musaf. You're not allowed to actually have a full meal. So there's no problem with duchening by Musaf, which is, again, the issue with Simchat Torah.
This logic, and I absolutely love it, there should absolutely be no allowance for a Kiddush Club in Shul.
So he says Te'ima Ba'alma. Is a Kiddush Club Te'ima Ba'alma, or is a Kiddush Club more?
The drinking of it is, unfortunately, way more.
Way more. That's maybe a different problem. To mincha, lefi shebiyom sheyesh bo ni'ila, mitpalim mincha be'od hayom gadol, kedei la'atchil ni'ila kodem shkia sacham, alachem mitchalefet hi mincha shel shaar hayamim. And he says, this is not really relevant for our shiur, it's just interesting in general. Okay. The Pasuk Shulchan says, "Minog yafe becholat Yisrael shehakonim nosim kapeim." Right on that line, he says, "Ubecholenu miyom shezachinu likvoi yeshivatinu be'eretz Yisrael v'Yerushalayim mirakodesh." Now that we've managed to get back most of Israel, minaginu shehakonim nosim kapeim bechol yom b'Shabbat v'yantov kedas das Rabbeinu Hagadol, which is probably the Gra. Okay. So that's just he's quoting what they did in Israel. By the way, to point out, it's incredible. Again, I think I mentioned this last week. It's not clear exactly who started this. But it's incredibly impressive that we're able to change this minhag for Ashkenaz in in Eretz Yisrael, because for whatever reason, America in Chutz Aretz didn't work.
What are they sitting doing as well?
They duchen Yerushalayim, definitely.
I think everyone did. Maybe not Haifa, but I think everyone else did.
In Israel, early on.
Satmar in Israel.
Before my day.
Before your day.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they would always duchen Yerushalayim, but not necessarily everywhere else.
I've only ever davened in a Hasidish people in Yerushalayim.
Not just Hasidim in general.
Oh.
It spread.
Yeah, spread.
I don't know when this was written exactly, but it spread. It wasn't like immediate. In Yerushalayim, they always duchened. Outside, not okay. always. That took a while.
Like Satmar, do they duchen in Israel?
I think so. I don't know.
But
I mean, Shulchan Aruch Halav says you should be, right? Shulchan Aruch Halav is quoted on the right here. He says, between the Shiatim Azim Beit HaKnes, fine. The Yitur Libam, so that's when the only time you should duchen. And he says, Bekol Makom, Yashal Kocham Shebnei Eretz Yisrael. He says, they're able to accomplish the what you're supposed to be doing, that you're duchening every single day. And this is where, by the way, I think this is the earliest source, the Meshiv Davel, for these stories. But this is Bezen for your religion. I think everyone's heard this. Shepam echad iskim rabbeinu Agra. The Agra said that la'anhig nesiat kapayim bechol yom beit midrasho. He said in his Beis Medrash that you should. I don't think the Agra had a Beis Medrash, but I guess wherever he davened. No. This is the actual Agra. The Agra is Beis Medrash where he was learning.
This is
in Vilna. Back all the way back then. He says, what happened? Vakpu min ha-shamayim, and from heaven themselves, they prevented him from starting duchening. V'nilkach le-bet ha-salim. So the first time he tried this, he got jailed.
There was a thunderstorm or something?
No, the next time there's a fire. V'achakach ze, chazal agon avir ha-roim moreno ha-rach, right? So this is the Reb Chaim Velazhiner, right? So his son-in-law, I think, or something like that. And then the Gra gets jailed, and apparently doesn't happen. Then Reb Chaim Velazhiner tries again. And what happens, the entire city burns down. Half the city burnt down that night. And then they decided, you know what? Maybe not. Let's not push our luck.
Best logic so far.
And Shulchan says, there's absolutely no justification for our minhag. By the way, this is the Aruch HaShulchan. Is like the guy who, when everyone's doing everything wrong, he will still justify. He's like, this is the minhag, and I have some sort of justification, and he comes up with something. But for this, he says, we have no right to be mevatel mitzvah sasei kol hashana kula. But still, it's as if a heavenly voice came out and said, do not dochen at all. In other words, the Gron Chaim Velazhiner, kol echad b'mkomo ratza lanhig nesiat kapayim v'chol yom, ukshegbilo yom ha'gubal hazeh, nitbabel ha'inyan v'lo ala lahem, and it didn't end up happening. Shon ki min ha'shemayim nigzera. And then they just gave up. And he says, so apparently that's interesting that, you know, whatever happened, again, to your point, we don't have any justification. But it's like the Aruch HaShulchan just pick up his hand and say, you know what, I just don't know. I give up.
I got nothing.
Right. And if you look at this Chuvas from Beis Efayetz, Margolius, he points out that this is not, apparently someone asked him, you know, can we just get rid of this thing? It's ridiculous. Let's start duchening again. He says, he starts off with, listen, this is started from, I have written sources from already the Maharam in Rutenberg that says you're not supposed to be doing this. Maharam Rutenberg is relatively early, mid-Rishon, I should say, not early. He's right in Germanic states. You want exact dates? He'll give me the exact dates.
No,
oh, okay. So Maharam in Rutenberg, and he... And apparently for him already, they're not duchening. He says, no one's changed this. What right do you think we have to show up and say, you know what, now we can change it? No one's ever changed it. And apparently we've had this, you know, weak attempt here. And we've been saying this whole time, it's just not the right, it's not right. He said, maybe it's Torah Chatzibu. And then he says, maybe the reason why we don't do it in Chutz La'aretz is because we can't trust the Kohanim have real yichus, not real yichus. We don't really know what to do about it. So maybe they shouldn't be duchening at all. Doesn't really answer the question, right? We spoke about this, I think, last week. We mentioned this. If you don't have yichus, so then why are you duchening on Chag? Why are you duchening on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? And he says in the middle of all this, mikol makom, hinichu osam lisa kapeim beragalim. We let them, even though we don't trust that they're real kohanim, we're still going to let them dochen. Api chaskasam shechziku, because they tell us they're kohanim. Kedei shelo tishkach toras kuhuna mehem. Ve'avod lehaka bedvarim shakoin muzar aleihem. He says, we might not have a chazaka, but they still have the din of kahuna. They're not allowed to be matame the mace. They're not allowed to do all these other things that kohanim are not allowed to do. And so we need to give them something, a taste, something to make them feel like they're really kohanim and they're real special. So we'll let them duchen on yativ. Really, we shouldn't be letting them duchen at all, but let's give them something. Let's make them, throw them a little bone here or there.
Where does he live?
Margolius? I'm not sure. He's got to be Europe somewhere, no? He's somewhere in Europe. Isra Margolius, he is the, his name is Zalman Margolius. You could look up Chuba Space to find, but he's somewhere in Europe. He has a, yeah. Picture has a pierce on the Rambam. Anyway, he, the Chassam Sofer in his Chuba on this, he said, I saw what Margolius wrote. The reason why it says that you're supposed to duchen after the avodah, and v'tfila b'makom avodah, and nowadays instead of avodah, instead of karbanos, we have tefila. And the problem is that nobody's paying any attention. V'haynu be'avaseinu arabim kol yematachot rudim al mechay v'akakol v'rov tefilas b'di kavana. We're davening without any kavana. And betulda meruba betfila below kavana ki karban shein oratzei. Tfila without karban, without kavana is like a karban that God rejects. And therefore, since we don't have any kavana, we can't duchen. Duchening, the order is duchening after karban. We don't do. We don't give a good karban, so we can't duchen afterwards. That's his argument. Yes, I've heard you make a similar. I've read this. And I was like, Alan's going to like this. He's made similar points in the past. I was thinking of the next time is going to be when I should say halal, but we'll talk about that later. And he says the Eretz Zvi has his own argument over here. He says he's not sure what to really say about this either. And he says the Eben Batli Mitzvah say the Ashat Shem Birchas Kohanim Betoch Hatfila Hu Shat Shel Kohanim She Birchas Yisrael Shat Kohanim. Okay. And he says he has this fascinating argument where he basically tries to make this case that the chazan, we're not really being mevatel duchening, and when the chazan says Elokeinu Kel Avoteinu and is saying that whole that thing after Sim Shalom, he's really a shliach for the kohanim, because his argument is that not only is there a mitzvah for a kohen to duchen, there's also a mitzvah for Yisrael to allow the kohen to duchen. It goes both ways. There's two mitzvahs going on over here. And so, since it's also a mitzvah for the Yisrael to allow a kohen to duchen, which, by the way, is what the I mentioned this last week, the Rav in the hospital in Rambam in Haifa, that let me duchen, he says, I'm also getting a mitzvah because now I'm allowing you to duchen. So it's also, I get my mitzvah out of this also. But his argument is, the Halsi's argument is that since there's also a mitzvah in the Yisrael to allow the kohen to duchen, so the shliach tzibur can really be a shliach for a sort of like the mohel for the father. Like the father is really the one who's supposed to circumcise his son. Instead, we have a mohel do it. So the shliach chazan offers somewhat of a similar avenue, a present argument or something, that he's now being a shliach for the kohen. I don't know what any of that means.
Can we solve this problem by having you wash your hands and do the shliach tzibur just in perpetuity?
So yes, except for everybody according to the heart tzvi, that's not tochen.
Yeah, but maybe it is.
Yeah, okay. Is that why I'm davening every morning?
Sure.
That's right. Yeah, that's the reason. I'm still not doing Thursdays.
It's not Tuesday. Sure, it has to be Thursday.
Is that how it works?
Yeah,
that's how it works.
Those are the terms that
wait,
you
so
said.
Then I don't want Monday. Oh, we'll talk about it. Here, over here, this is, what's his name, Reisman from L.A. He writes a lot of things, and he quotes a lot of interesting stuff. But by interesting, I mean weird. No, this is, what's his first name? I don't know what his first name is. He writes a lot of stuff. He's from L.A. He publishes a lot of things.
In Brooklyn?
No. I think still in L.A. I don't think he left. But basically, he apparently someone came to his shul. Someone from Israel came to his shul. And then Pinchas Scheinberg and apparently told everybody that he's duchening tomorrow. And all the kohanim in L.A. went to the shul and duchened. So he started justifying, can we duchen a chutzalat in an Ashkenazi shul? So he came up with all these reasons, what everyone, all the different arguments that people have made. And the ones that we didn't see yet. Yeah, exactly. So they've given up. I don't know. I don't think anywhere in any Ashkenazi shul in LA still duchens. I assume it was a one-time thing. And he says that maybe the reason is the difference. One of his reasons in the Sefer Nesivos, okay, that one of the reasons the difference why we could duchen by chag but not during the rest of the week is because there's a concept that how do we know a kohen is a real kohen, because he's not going to be chutzpahdik enough to go in front of everybody and say I'm really a kohen if he's not. So during the rest of the week, there aren't that many, or on Shabbos, during the rest of the year, there's not that many people in shul. So there, maybe you'll have the guts to say, you know what? I am a kohen. But on Chag, when everybody's in shul, he's not going to go ahead and say it. All right, whatever.
So that is trying to give some justification to this idea that Yichus is more reliable on Yontif.
Yes,
than
more, yeah.
More people to call him.
We sort of want to make class. We just didn't have a way to do it. This like offers like that opportunity. But all right. Yeah, but we always use it for everything else. I mean, it's not. In general, we trust this sort of.
My grandfather's headstone says I call him.
Yeah. Yeah, he says also on. He has another reason.
I have one for the test. I don't know if you ever did or not. I have one.
Oh, that DNA thing? Yeah, it doesn't matter, halachically. Whatever, yeah. That's a different shir, I guess.
I
know the guy who did it.
Gave me a
copy of
the
paper when he came out. Yeah. That's a
piece of work. I mean, that's...
I dive in Mashkami next to him every week. We had herring and scratch together every week. That's how I made all my good friends. He's a coin. He got mad. He's the reason I didn't have to go to anatomy lab at med school. He's like, he was the head of Rappaport Center in Technion.
You gotta
try to swab my cheek. Yeah, I couldn't figure out why. I never did the anatomy lab.
He doesn't.
I have no idea what's inside there. I'm just hoping for the best.
All he knows is that as long as one of your three hearts is working, you're fine.
I keep looking for the heart here, and I can't find it.
There's 248 bone, right? Right.
All my anatomy is from Gemara's. This is on recording. It's good. fine. So he says also on Chag, maybe there's a little bit more bracha around in general or something like that. He says another reason why we don't duchen on Shabbos, which again, I don't know what this is for the people that don't duchen when Yontif is on Shabbos because they're afraid people are going to carry because they need water to wash their hands. And maybe there's no running water in their shul, so they were going to end up carrying the water. So maybe that was the reason. Here's another one, which I wasn't really sure what to do with. He says, maybe the reason why on Shabbos you don't get a bracha is because on Shabbos, this is what we spoke about a lot about with our Friday night shiurim, there's a lot of there's already a lot of bracha around. So we don't need that extra bracha of the Birkat Kohanim, which is fascinating because the Birkat Aval Banim is specifically on Shabbos because there's extra bracha around, so you want to utilize that extra bracha. So it's weird that he took the same exact argument and went the other direction. It's sort of like how on Shabbos is either more shadim or less shadim, depending on what we're trying to add or get rid of during davening. It sort of seems like a little bit similar like that.
What do you mean? At least in Israel.
Oh, in Israel, yeah. But he's talking about Shabbos on Yontif. Anyway, he has a whole bunch of like interesting things. Let's just finish this up, I think. But Modim Mizmanim has a fun argument, which I sort of like. So he, again, starts off addressing this whole issue, same thing as everybody else. Like, what's going on here? How does any of this make any sense? And then he quotes the Rama, which we saw, right? And he says, it's just because you're busy going to work, you're busy with other things, that's never a justification to say that you're not allowed to do mitzvah. So that doesn't make any sense, that the Ramah's argument of why we don't duchen. And so, Rav Shlomach makes this fun argument over here, which he says, that let's talk about what is tefillah b'tzibur. Sheyesh beis dinim b'tefillah b'tzibur. V'haynu tefillat ha-tzibur, she'yisoda de'echad mispalel v'kol ram, v'akol shomim m'menu u'mitpalin b'ze yachad mamish. There's one thing which is called tefillah ha-tzibur. That's when everybody davens together, everyone's paying attention to what the chazan is saying, and that is the construct of, basically, chazaz ha-shatz, right? When the chazan's repeating everything. And then there's another thing. When we're all davening privately and just happy to be 9 other people in the room with us so that we end up with 10, that is mikri tefillat b'tzibur. It's not tefillat ha-tzibur. And b'neil shechazat tiknu nesiat kapayim b'tfila rak shehi tfilat hatzibur. The only time you can have this concept of duchening is when there is tfilat hatzibur. Dehavi dumi de karbanas hatzibur. Just like, again, the chinuch, this whole idea, duchening comes after karbanas. The only time you have duchening is following karbanas. Karbanas is something that the whole tzibur has to do together. Everyone has to pay attention together. That is the same thing that has to happen if duchening is going to occur. Aval, b'tfilat tzibur dehavi ketfilas yechidim b'tzibur ein bezeh nesias kapayim. But just a whole bunch of 10 people that randomly happen to be in a room together but aren't actively davening together, that's not good enough. For the fizde, yesh li zaher me'od b'chazarat hashatz she'asar yishmeu k'din kol ha'shmona esrei. Ideally, the correct way to do chazarat hashatz, because it's tfilas hatzibur, is not that people are doing other things at the same time, but that everybody's paying attention to every single word of Chazal Tashat. Sherak bezeh mikra tefilat hatzibur, and he has a couple of other sources. Va'aposkim kvar hi'iru she'ba'avoseinu harabim bizmaneinu mesichim dat me'ashat ve'en shemim kol mila kedin. Nowadays, we don't have enough people that are people are not really paying attention. They're not really listening. And he says, therefore, v'zeh'ra'u chachmei ha'do'o lefnei kama me'ot shanim, k'shebidlu nesiat kapayim, when they got rid of nesiat kapayim, sh'rabu etzleinu habikin l'ispalo, since we have a lot of people that know how to daven, v'lo samchu od al hashatz, and since they know how to daven themselves, like what I have to listen to this guy do chazar hashatz for, I already did it myself. So, and no one's listening, and they're not listening the way they're supposed to for Chazal Tashatz. So they basically abolish Tfilat HaTzibur. The ki hai gavna, and there, lo nitkana nisiyat kapayim she'ina be'avodat HaTzibur, v'kar shi bracha levatala. Doing the Nisiyas Kapayim in a situation where not everybody's listening, where it's not Tfilat HaTzibur, that's going to be a bracha levatala. Karov, at least, so bracha levatala. And
I
but
love that Karo,
I know he's very careful.
If you went all the way over that line, then you have a real high Mitzvah's question on any shul, even on Yantar.
No. So he says, "V'shapir no'agin lahakel ve'nasin kapayim el b'rosh shana v'yom kippur mi'yom tov sheyesh ribuy am." I have a lot of people in shul. They're not turned in malacha. So hopefully, between everything, I'll end up with 10 that are going to listen, and I end up with tefilat hatzibul. That's his argument.
So.
This gets really good, by the way. So one second, hold on. Aval ve'eretz hakodesh emek kelim nasim kapayim kedina de gemara. We're not going to be making an Eretz Yisrael. We're going to do it the way you're supposed to. And he says maybe part of the reason why there's a difference between the two. Ve'ulai be'eretz b'tchilat ha'yishuv, when everyone started coming back. Well, kulam la'avod Hashem. Notice how his first yishuv, he's talking about talmidei hagra. He says everyone that's coming back, they went to Eretz Yisrael from a religious Zionist perspective. Ve'lo yotrudim b'mechiyatam. Apparently, they weren't working or something like that. Or they had money. Vidiktiku b'mitzvot, and they were very medaktik in mitzvot. Ve'akachach nitkaima etznam tfilat hatzibur ve'lo ikiru. Since they're like, oh, now we have people here that are being kovet tfilat hatzibur, there's no reason to make it anymore, and therefore we have to do the bracha karo'oi. Now he has a problem. How come Sfaradim never got rid of it? Right? Ashkenazim got rid of it. Why didn't Sfaradim get rid of it? So he says, "V'chena Sfaradim." Rav Avad Yosef's gonna have a field day with this, but yeah.
Their public tefillah is very participatory. People Sfaradim pay attention to their tefillah.
So he says a nice way to phrase it. He phrased it slightly differently. He says, "V'chena Sfaradim she'rabu etzlam pa'am ena b'kiim." Since they constantly have people that don't know how to read in their shuls, nishal nishma chazal tashatz kalacha ve'ena mekili. But if you want, we'll phrase it your way. That sounds a lot better, and that's a much nicer way of finishing off this year. So let's say your way, that they're being more participatory in the tefillah.
It's not me. I'm quoting. I'm quoting.
They come from the air blend.
I don't know. Maybe other Semitic languages, but not Hebrew. I don't know. Whatever. It's not really important. The point is that his argument is that if we have...
Read everything out loud.
Yeah, so if we have... That's, again, the nice way of phrasing it.
Yeah, it takes forever, but I've been in Sephardim.
That's actually a very good argument.
His argument is, again, this presentation in general of this idea of Tfilat HaTzibur is something we could definitely have a different shir on, but it has a lot of ramifications. And the whole point is being that, listen, this is not something that we just... This is not just 10 people individually in a room together. If we want to do this properly, we want to do kadas kadin, you have to have everybody that's actually paying attention, actively paying attention, and that's a real minion. And obviously, I think the only real way to conclude this shir is in Fleetwood Synagogue, as all of us pay active attention. We have at least 10 people. We obviously have to bring duchening back to the show.
So, let's go to the first part first.
Okay, fine. Shkach, everybody.